We're talking tennis with Peanut Louie. Peanut Louie, of course, played 19 years in her career. She won 4 singles championships. She broke in professionally back in 1976 at the U.S. Open. But as I alluded before the break, Peanut, your career blossomed along with your brother and sisters on the public courts in San Francisco, which is, I guess, was one of only two ways. You were either part of a tennis club and you developed your skills, or you did it on the public courts, did you not?
You know, gosh, the first tennis club that was even around was the San Francisco Tennis Club, and that wasn't till 1976 or 1977. So up to that point, you know, I started playing at Golden Gate Park when I was 6 years old. And when the San Francisco Tennis Club opened, Marcy and my older brother Ronnie were one of the first teaching pros there with Weston Reese, who's now the tennis director. And so I just kind of moved over there from Golden Gate Park. There was a lot of good competition for me in practice at San Francisco Tennis Club. So pretty much from the age of 16, 17 till my whole career, San Francisco Tennis Club was my second home.
I would think that being on the public courts is a totally different atmosphere than either what we find today in the academies or even in the clubs themselves. And I don't really know how to put my finger on it, but Rosie Casals is another one that came off of the public courts in San Francisco at Golden Gate Park. And she always talked about the people that were around the courts. I mean, San Francisco is a melting pot. There is no doubt. You're smiling and laughing. But she always said that that always kept her humble and really was one of the things that inspired her.
Golden Gate Park, I tell you, it was, you know, I'm just really glad that we experienced that. In the day where you could, and our parents could leave us there and we'd be fine and come home safely. You know, Rosie, actually, we were both Washington High School alumni, too. So that's pretty neat. And her dad, she wasn't playing at Golden Gate Park when we were growing up, but her dad would come out, and just the nicest, sweetest man. And he would come and, you know, sit behind the courts and watch his practice. And, you know, we'd have friends come out there that weren't used to Golden Gate Park, and they'd walk past Hippie Hill, or, you know, you'd hear the bongo drums. And we're so used to it, we didn't even notice it. And they'd be like, you know, I don't like playing here because it's, like, so distracting. But, you know, it really did get you ready for everything. You saw everything at Golden Gate Park.
What type of mentoring and coaching did you get there? What was it like at that time?
You know, I think, you know, back in those days, because, you know, my parents couldn't really afford private tennis lessons for us. And, you know, we were really just a product of my mom just, you know, getting out there. We would, you know, play with other kids, a lot of other people. But really, she'd feed us 1,000,000,000 balls. And we all kind of hit a little different because she just kind of gave us the basics, you know, technique of how to hit the ball.
So she was your early coach then?
Yes. My mom started us all. And Marcy had some lessons as a junior from Dennis Vandermeer. And then, you know, I didn't get like a real tennis lesson until maybe I was about 15 or 16 with Rich Anderson was my first coach. And, you know, I had a few other coaches after that, but he was the first one that I started with and like a real tennis lesson.
You know, was your mom a difficult, when I say difficult, was she a demanding teacher?
My mom is just from the school of hard work. It's just, you know, I just describe it as hitting 100,000,000 tennis balls. And there's 5 of us. So, you know, my brother didn't play as much as a junior as the 4 girls did. But, you know, it was just like, okay, your turn. Okay. You know, my mom would just work with each of us at different times. If, you know, my sisters were off playing with another friend practicing, then it would be me and my sister Maurice or something, just alternating. And my mom had her big bucket of balls and beaming us, you know, we hit cross court, 100 those, 100 down the line. But it wasn't in a way where, you know, I guess you just get used to it. This is just what you do. So, you know, kind of a combination of, you know, I didn't know anything different, but it wasn't in a way of like, you know, we were forced to do this. This is what you're doing. You have no other choice kind of thing. So I guess we're just lucky that it was a nice balance.
I'm going to assume that you enjoyed playing tennis along the lines, and I'm going to draw this comparison. And when I take a look at the young players today, the juniors, because as you've pointed out, they've come on to the professional circuit a lot earlier, 14, 15, 16 years old. I wonder about them being able to enjoy it, that they've become machines. I never believed that either Serena or her sister was a machine when it came to tennis because of the environment that we've talked about, the public courts. And I don't think it was that way for you and probably other juniors at that time. Am I correct in that observation?
You know, I think, again, you know, just lucky that my mom put us in the game for the right reasons, I like to say. And it's just for the pure enjoyment and positive experience of being involved in the sport of tennis. So it was never about money. It was never about even getting a college scholarship. It wasn't being on the pro circuit. And I think that's the thing that's a little scary these days, whether it's tennis or any other sport. Our parents see this, you know, blinking lights and all this money. And, you know, I know that they want, you know, this great opportunity for their kids to be like a professional athlete. But, you know, everyone knows how extremely difficult that is, and this percentage of kids that really make it even to college level. And that's the thing where you just want to, you hope that they keep it in a healthy perspective, because you want your child, whatever sport they're in, to enjoy the game, you know, for the right reasons and something that they choose to do. You know, even for our own kids, you know, because everybody always asks them, you know, you must play tennis. And I think they've heard it so much that they do. I mean, they know how to play and they're relatively good, like they'll be able to enjoy it. But it is not their favorite sport at all. And, you know, for me, it's an easy choice that they chose something else because they love the sports that they love. They go to practice easy. They want to do well. And that's just like a no-brainer.
Yeah. I want to follow up with another observation as well. When I watch junior tennis today, I don't see the variety or the well-roundedness of today's young junior player. And what I mean by that is that when I watch, whether male or female, they are wailing at the ball. There is no touch shot. There is no drop shot. And that was not something that I sensed with you or any of the players from previous eras when they were learning the game. They were learning the complete game, and I don't see that today. Am I right about that observation?
You know, I think, you know, when they try and compare tennis today and tennis, you know, back in like our era, and I'm still a big believer in good sound technique, and there's this like modern tennis that, you know, they're teaching these little kids to hit the ball 100 million miles per hour, and you know, it's just I don't know, it's just gotten bigger and faster, everything, you know, the money is bigger, so everybody's just like pushing kids harder and harder to be these really strong, great tennis players at the age of 10. And you know, it's just kind of unrealistic.
What about tennis burnout today?
Oh gosh, you know, you just hope in any sport that, you know, that these kids, I mean, if they're still enjoying their sport by the time they're 15, 16, that seems like a pretty successful thing for parents, because there's so much pressure on the kids these days that if they're not winning, you know, first place or the tournament, you know, they're at the age of 10 or 11, it's just like, okay, let's try something else.
Let me also ask you about when you broke in professionally. It was at the U.S. Open. How old were you?
I was 16.
And when you think back about walking onto your first professional tennis court and playing that match, what is it that still stays with you today?
Nancy Ritchie. She, you know, playing her at Forest Hills and on clay, and just the whole experience of taking the subway out there, you know, walking through the neighborhood, stopping at the deli to get your sandwich. I think it was $1.50 or $3. And just really, I mean, I'm on the court with Nancy Ritchie, who I just, you know, you grow up watching these legends. I'm like, okay, this is surreal. And I had done well as a junior, but, you know, you're standing on the court with this, you know, this pro that you just admired and looked up to. And it's just like, okay, I'm just happy to be here.
I broadcast a telecast of a tournament once that had both Nancy and Cliff Ritchie, brother and sister, of course. And Cliff told me that when they practiced out in the plains of Texas, which is where they grew up, that they would, every day when they practiced, they would pretend that they were someplace else in the world and that they were playing for the championship. So maybe it was Paris one day, maybe it was Bangkok the next day, or it was Rome or something else. And so I said to him, I said, do you remember which city it was that she beat you?
Oh.
And I guess the competition between brother and sister. We've got about 45 seconds before we break, but was there a lot of sibling rivalry tennis-wise between you, your brother, and your sisters?
You know, there was, like Marcy being 7 years older than me and you know, just following her footsteps to the pros. There's like, you know, good, you know, sibling rivalry. And, you know, she's the oldest, I'm the youngest. But, you know, it's all good. You know, even my two sisters in between, you know, we practice together all the time. So yeah, we have some good stories.
I can just imagine. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'm going to talk with Peanut Louie about a book that she co-authored along with Coach John Wooden and Steve Jamison. It's a wonderful book. It's called Inch and Miles, The Journey to Success. And I think you're going to find it quite interesting. Peanut Louie with us in the studio. She played 19 years in her career. She won 4 singles titles. And she also was an outstanding junior. She was a junior national champion. We do that as we continue on Sports Byline.